I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah this morning. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. I don't know why, but I really felt directed by the Lord this morning to focus on really bringing a word of encouragement. And how many ways do you present the Christmas message? But you know, the Lord has always got something that He will reveal or He'll bring out that is very relevant to what's going on right now. How many know that God has a right now word? Amen. And we need to hear the right now word from God. And it's just when things look hopeless. Has anybody beside myself ever been in a situation where things just looked hopeless? Yes. There's one over here. We run into these things, don't we? We run into situations all the time that we don't know how we're going to get through it, how we're going to overcome. They appear to be hopeless. Well, see, this is the awesome thing about the Lord, is that it doesn't matter how things appear. We're not to live by the appearance of things. We're not to walk by sight, right? But by faith. And so, just because things may seem hopeless, doesn't mean that they are. And I'm going to say this, and because I believe this with every fiber in my being, that to a child of God, there is no such thing as hopelessness. Because we have the God of all hope. Where there is hopelessness, there is hope in God. Amen?
Amen?
What we need to do is shift away from our own understanding, from our own thinking, from our own way of looking at things, and we need to tune into Heaven Station. We need to get our eyes off the problem, and we need to place them on the solution. God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. It doesn't matter how hopeless things may seem to be in your life. God has a way where there seems to be no way. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Not just some, but all grace. Everything that you need is in Christ. Now, if you want to live independently of the Lord, or if you just want to wait until the bottom falls out and you hit bottom and there's nowhere else to go to call on Him, you're going to be wasting a lot of your time, wasting a lot of your life, wasting the moments that God has given you that you might be a blessing in this world. You see, we got to get beyond the bless me mentality to the I want to be a blessing mentality. And your hope will often come in the package of a gift to someone else. When you gift your life to others, when you give, it shall be given unto you. When you serve and you bless others, you will be blessed and served. It may not happen in the time, but there's an appointed time and a season for everything under the sun. And God knows how to bring things in just when you need them. And in the process of waiting, there is some character development going on. You're learning how to trust in God. You're learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. When everything is predictable, when everything is right there written out so you can see it. It doesn't require much faith, does it? But all of us, sometime or another, are going to be put into the position where you have no other alternative but to trust God. Boy. Yes. How many know that's actually a good thing? It's a good thing to learn how to trust in the Lord. Do you know the only thing that pleases God is what? Faith. That you trust Him. That you believe in Him. That you believe that His promises are good. that you believe that as He promised, even though you may not feel Him, you may not see Him, He said He would never leave you. He'd never forsake you. God is with you. It's when things looked hopeless in the land of Israel, God intervened. It was one of her darkest times. It was when David's kingdom had fallen. It was cast down. They were under Roman tyranny and rule and oppression. And everything seemed to be dark and hopeless. But it was in this place of darkness and hopelessness that the greatest miracle of all occurred. Often it's in the place of the greatest darkness in your life that the greatest light will shine.
Praise God.
We've got to shift beyond what things look like, and we've got to go higher. We've got to go to the rock who is higher than I, and know that God is able to make all grace abound to me. Why? Because I am His child, and He is my Father. And my Father cares about me. The prophet Isaiah, he spoke of Christ in this manner. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Hebrew literally means a shoot will spring forth from the stump of Jesse. Anybody got any stumps in the yard? Everybody's seen a stump, right? Most of us don't want any stumps in our yard, right? We want to dig them babies up and get rid of them because they're ugly. Because they seem to be dead and lifeless. They're only a memory of what used to be. You see, all they had was a memory of what used to be. They probably sat around often and talked about the good old days, the way things used to be in the land of Israel, and how God had blessed them and prospered them. And unfortunately, when they had become prosperous, they began to forget God. And they no longer were in position for God to continue to bless them, because they shifted their heart away from Him. Because they took their eyes off God and put it on themselves. And began to worship things that were made. Does that sound familiar? And so in this time of darkness, of great darkness, this miracle occurs. And yet it says from this stump, there's going to be a rod or a shoot. It means like a little sapling spring up out of this stump. And that was speaking of the devastation, of course, of Israel and the Davidic kingdom. And now they are under this oppression. And at this time, life sparks. Life, light comes at the darkest point. Hallelujah. How many are tracking so far? Life sprouted out of brokenness and hopelessness. It's when we come to a place, folks, where we have nothing to offer of our own. When we come to a place where everything seems impossible, that miracles happen. How many have had a miracle happen when you didn't have a need? Every day when you wake up, but it's a need to wake up, isn't it? Sometimes we look at our lives and we look at maybe where we are today, and we can compare it to where we once were. How many know it's not wise to look back? Or at least not to stare. You can learn lessons from history, but you don't want to stay there. Amen? You've got to move on. But you can look at your life and say, there's not much here but an old stump. Don't despair over the stumps in your life. Don't despair over the seeming hopelessness or brokenness of your life, because God is a God who is able to bring life out of death.
Amen.
Jesus Himself came up out of the grave on the third day, overcame, hallelujah, the grave. Amen? Out of death, there was the greatest miracle of all. Death could not hold Him. And God wants to come in to the deadness of your life. God wants to come in to the stump of your existence. And He wants to put a seed there. He wants to birth life in you. And then His Spirit will brood over you and begin to germinate and begin to bring refreshing to that sprout. The Word of God will begin to feed your spirit. You will begin to rise up above your circumstances. When you get your eyes off your circumstances and you put your faith and trust in the Word of the Lord and what God had said, His Word is true. His Word always works. What we need to do is believe that. We're in a microwave society. It didn't happen within the first 5 minutes. So it must not going to happen. We pray for the sick that they be healed. Just because they didn't instantaneously get healed doesn't mean they're not going to be healed. Often it's on the way home or at home or maybe a couple weeks or months or maybe a couple years later. It doesn't matter. But what we do is we lay hands by faith and we decree, amen, the blessing of the Lord, the healing power of Jesus to come and touch that person at their point of need. And God will bring in the results. We don't live by sight. One of the names given to Jesus was Dayspring, which literally means, or figuratively it means, dawn. Dawn. Luke 1 and verse 78 says, "The Dayspring, or dawn, from on high has visited us." Luke 1 verse 79 says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Matthew 4:16 says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." Who is Jesus? He is our morning star. He is our day spring. He is our dawn. In your darkness there is light. You do not have a dark day if you have Christ in your life, because you have the light.
Amen.
Believe in the light. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Get beyond it. Say, "Jesus, I know that You're with me. I know that You're for me. I know that You're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Because You're with me. And because I know that You care for me." You encourage yourself in the Lord. You begin to speak the promises of God. You and I are never without hope in the Lord. Remember that this coming year, folks. You are never without hope. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You have hope in the Lord. Your God is with you. Your God is for you. Your God is able to make all grace abound to you. Your God is able to make a way. "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." You see, it's out of hopelessness that hope dawns. It's out of darkness that light dawns. It's out of death that life springs forth. When Jesus was crucified, all hope seemed to be gone, wasn't it? The disciples were perplexed. They were confused. They were crushed. They were bewildered. And they were certainly disappointed when Jesus died. Here, the one who came to save Israel has now been nailed to a cross. They had not understood what Jesus had been speaking to them about Him going away. And now their hope seemed to be dashed. Their hopes and their desires. And they're living in this fog of hopelessness. And all of a sudden, on the road to Emmaus, they run into this dude. The gardener. At least they thought it was the gardener, right? And as they were walking, they began to have conversation. And even still, while he was talking to them, they still did not discern who was talking to them. How many times in our lives God has been speaking to us, but we're not discerning it's God speaking to us? We're asking for answers. God speaks to you. Oh, that ain't good enough. So you go to somebody else. God speaks to you again. Oh, that ain't good enough. You go to somebody else. Oh, God's speaking to you. And then sometimes you go and find somebody that thinks just like you and you agree with them. You say, good, God just spoke to me. He told me what I wanted to hear. No, he didn't speak to you. Sometimes we're just not listening. But this is time of hopelessness for the disciples. You know, however, hallelujah, it didn't end there. However, by all appearances, it was the darkest time of their life. But on the third day, Jesus Christ arose from the grave. Amen. He is alive forevermore. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession as our great high priest. Amen. He represents us there. We have been given his name to go in his name. And also, as we represent him on the earth, he's representing us there in heaven. So we can call on the name of the Lord. And know my God is with me, my God is for me, my God will make a way.
Amen.
Quit looking at what you see. Look at him who you don't see. Quit looking at the problem. Start looking at the answer. Lord, you're my answer. Where could I go but to the Lord? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Ha. In the shadow, amen, of death. It says that the light has come. And he is the one that alone who gives us peace. Amen? There's only peace in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's always hope in God, folks. And so when we talk about Christmas, we know it's not about all the facade. It's not about all the Santa. And there's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating some guy who went around and did good things for people. Amen. We should celebrate those things. I believe it's the message is good if it talks about giving, because God is a giver. Amen. I don't get hung up over that, and I don't turn Santa into Satan or something else. Okay. I think we can always find something wrong with anything if we look for it. As a matter of fact, you can probably find something wrong with me if you look hard enough. You got to look past my faults, all right, and see my needs. Pray for me. Rejoice, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has come, folks. Isaiah 9 and verse 2, this says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And now we have been given the commission. We have been given the responsibility because of Christmas Day, because of the life and the death and the resurrection and the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the commission of Jesus Christ. You and I have been given an assignment now to take the message of hope, the message of life, amen, to the world. We've been called to bear his name, hallelujah, in the earth, to declare his praise, the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what we've been called to do. How many say yes to the assignment of God?
Yes.
We have been called by Jesus himself, the light of the world. He says, now you're the light. You're the salt. Go in my name. Folks, it's no mystery, but you can't be light unless you first get lit. And you need to stay lit. When we stay lit, we will be light. When we are light, the darkness will be expelled. And so how do we advance the kingdom of God? God has chosen you and I as vessels of representatives on the earth. Amen? To go in his name and to go into the dark places and let your light so shine before men. Ah! How many are lit for Jesus today? Wow. Hallelujah. That's why we sing. That's why we praise. That's why we worship. That's why we pray. That's why we obey. Because we want to be a light. Yes. We want to be salt. We want to be influencers. We don't want to be the victims. We want to be the victors. Yes. We pray so that we don't fall. P-R-E-Y, pray. So we can't light up others, folks, unless we get lit. You must be born again. How many know that this word is true? This word is true. What God says is true. What God says is what's really real. How many have used the term, it's pretty popular today, just get real. Just be real. How many know that being real is aligning yourself with what God says? Because truth is what's really real. And through what is written, you come to know He who is risen. We come to know the living Word through the written Word. You shall know the truth. And it's truth, amen, that exposes lies and deception. When the light of the truth comes in, there's no room now to hide. The darkness doesn't comprehend it. But those who are of the truth, those who love the truth, will come into the light. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 3? That this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. And they don't come into the light. They don't come to Christ. Lest their deeds be exposed. However, God didn't come to condemn us. Hallelujah. But that we might be saved. That we might be forgiven. That we may be restored to a right walk, a right relationship with God, who is the lover of our soul. Nobody loves you more than Jesus. Amen? Amen. Nobody loves you more than God. For God so loved the world that He sent Jesus, God incarnate. The second person of the Trinity became a man. Hallelujah. For the redemption of fallen Adam's race. And so now, if we are the light, we need to shine. Amen? Amen. We need to be a bright light. Yeah. Folks, I want to say something. The greater the darkness, the brighter the light shines. Can anybody beside myself see the darkness coming? How many would understand and realize with me that now is a very important time for the church? That we get busy for God? That we start living what we preach? That we start, amen, that we get into God's presence? We get the junk out and we get the good in? So that we will shine for Jesus. So the world may know that there is hope. Even though it may seem hopeless, I'm running into more and more people who out of their mouth are just speaking hopelessness today. Hopelessness. There's no future. What about our kids? I ran into somebody the other day in the store and an old man just talking about what is it going to be like for them? Don't say that. There's always hope in the Lord. There's always hope. Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ. He is my life. And to die is gain. But while we're here, folks, we need to stay lit for Jesus. We need to be a light for Jesus. We need to get an alignment with Him. We need to say in agreement with God, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see heaven invade earth. And so we need to get into alignment because we are the body of Christ on the earth. And so we need to get into alignment with the head, Jesus Christ. Amen? Our command and control center. And we listen to the Lord. And as we do what we see Him do, as we speak what we hear Him speak, there will be evidence. God will confirm His word with signs following. Hallelujah. All right. David. King David. How many have read the life of David? And in the Psalms, these are all songs. And he often would write about his own experiences and his own feelings. And I don't know about you, but I found comfort many times in the Psalms when you're going through a rough time. Because David could identify, man. I mean, if anybody had some problems, it was David, amen? And sometimes when we look at our problems and we compare them to what David had, man, it's like, hey, if David can do it, we can do it, right? And how many know that if Jesus overcame, he also understands what you're going through? Jesus walked this earth. He knows. David had hope in God. In Psalms 27, verse 13, he said, I would have lost heart unless, everybody said unless. I had believed, I knew that would happen, that I would see the goodness of the Lord, where? In the land of the living. There is no hopelessness to a child of God. Throw that word out of your vocabulary. It's hopeless. There's always hope in the Lord. I look around here and I see a few gray hairs out there. And if I give you the mic right now, you'd probably go on for hours and hours about how many times it looked hopeless, but you, because you've been walking with Jesus all these years, one after another, you've seen God come through. God has always been there. God has been faithful. Sometimes it was the midnight hour, but He always came through somehow. We got to shift away from focusing on the problem to the answer. Jesus is the answer. David said, I would have lost heart, except I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then he said in verse 14, wait on the Lord. How many like waiting for things? How many like waiting in line? Do I see your hand over there? They learn how to cope, right? Yeah. Now, the key to waiting in line is to be content. To relax and say, it ain't going to go any faster, so there's no sense in me complaining about the line. In fact, while I'm there, I might as well have a good time. I can talk to the people that are there, right? In fact, if you start preaching to them, you may just empty the line out. Don't try that. Just do what God says. But we don't like waiting in line, but lines are necessary because there's usually something worth waiting for up ahead. I mean, people are so crazy about Christmas that they trample people to get some stuff, you know, temporary stuff. And a life is lost over temporary stuff. How crazy is that? People will camp out overnight waiting in line. If we can wait in line for inferior, lesser things, how much more should we be waiting, come on, patiently for the Lord to answer our prayer? Right. While we're waiting, do not complain about it. Right. There's nothing worse than waiting in a line where people are around you and they're belly aching to you about it. Of course, I hope nobody here has ever belly ached in line. We wait for things that are worth something. When you need an answer, sometimes you're going to have to wait. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes we've got to wait. But how many remember that the longer the wait, the greater the blessing when it comes? When we used to have to wait for Christmas morning to open those presents, boy, you know... We were counting. How many had your calendar checked off? Poom, 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 every day. Count down to Christmas, right? You did that, did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when you've had to wait something for something, it's always enhanced when it finally comes. You appreciate it more. It's a greater blessing. You will rejoice more when you've waited for something. So the key, folks, is to be content in the Lord, in your situation. Whatever your allotment is in this life, whatever you're going through, wherever you're at right now in life, you need to learn how to rest in God. You need to learn how to find your delight, your joy, your fulfillment, hallelujah, in Christ. Amen. How many know that He is your exceeding joy? He is the satisfier of your soul. Only Jesus is going to satisfy your soul. And in the process of waiting, rest in God. You don't operate out of stress, you operate out of rest. And they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. We're going to be waiting on the Lord this coming year. We're going to be entering into a time of fasting and prayer, consecration. We're going to be believing God for some things to happen this year. And we know that God is faithful. And God wants to show up. Hallelujah. He says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. One of the benefits of waiting, folks, is that in the process of waiting for something, you are developed. You are strengthened through it. People that have gone through trials, people that have been through some things, are people who usually have a strong character, a steadfast character. They're people who can stand up under adversity. And how many know that God will never allow adversity in your life to the degree that you cannot handle, and without also making a way of escape when it even comes to temptation? So God is faithful to you. He's developing something eternal in you. As we learn to wait on the Lord, we take courage that our God is with us. He's for us. And then in Psalms 37:39, I want you to read this with me. It says, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. God is going to answer. God is going to come to your rescue. God is going to come through. This is not some cute cliche. This is the truth. God is with you. God is for you. God is going to come through for you. You wait on the Lord. You find your rest, your contentment, your joy, your peace in His presence. And in the midst of this time of waiting for the answer, God is going to do something eternal in you. And then the time comes when the answer comes. And when the answer comes, it's always going to be better than you even expected.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. When the answer comes, it's always better than you expected. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked and save them because, what? They trust Him. Oh, if we can just get ourselves out of the position of Savior and begin to fully trust, lean on Jesus, know that it's going to be okay. God's with me. God's for me. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm going to live by faith in Christ. Amen? In Christ alone I place my trust. And it doesn't matter what comes in the days ahead. I'm not going to sit around and let the devil beat up on me and speak to me and tell me, oh, it's hopeless. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Worry about this. Worry about that. Fear this. Fear that. Forget that. I'm going to trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
My God is with me. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. If God is for us, who can be against us? So just when you think things look hopeless, God shows up. God will intervene in His own way. And His own way is always the best way. Would you agree? Hallelujah. God bless each one of you. Merry Christmas. I hope you have a blessed time. Would you stand together with your family today as we remember why we celebrate this day? Hallelujah. Light has come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. May your life be filled with the light of Christ. May the blessing and the favor of God rest upon you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and cause His face to shine on you. May the Lord lift up His countenance. May He smile upon you and give you His shalom. His peace be with you. Hallelujah. You need to receive Jesus today. All you need to do is say, Jesus, I surrender. Right where you're at, just pray this. Say, Jesus, I surrender to You. I want You to be the Lord of my life. I open my heart and I ask You to come in and forgive me of all my sin. Live in me. Give me a new beginning. Make me alive in You. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.